Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057Fan. Ed Norris will get your shovel.
Hypocritical college professors, particularly at Northeastern University. You know, college professors and people have been bitching about students using artificial intelligence for their term papers and whatever they have to, you know, just, but, and all AI does is aggregate what's already out in the public domain. I mean, it, you know, if it searches everything quickly and gives you, you know, a little snapshot of what you're searching. So, I mean, it's useful in some ways, in many ways. But they didn't like it, felt it was cheating. So, okay, can't do that. However, now one student at Northeastern University has filed a formal complaint demanding a tuition refund after discovering her professor was secretly using AI to generate notes. They're using AI to generate notes for their courses. They're using AI to prepare speeches and presentations. Mm. They're using AI to grade papers. Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. The students can't use it, but you guys don't want to. And you're supposed to be leading them and teaching them.
That's BS.
It is BS. Outrageous. Outrageous.
So you think no one should use it, or everyone should be able to use
everyone.
It?
Everyone. If you want, if you, it's either or. If the students can't use it, then the professors can't use it.
I mean, if you had your choice, would no one use it?
Well,
for education.
If I had my choice, yes, no one would.
No
use
one would use it. Okay. Yeah. That's all I was asking. Yeah. I agree with you. It should be one way or the other, but if I had my choice, it wouldn't be used in the educational world.
You shouldn't be able to just, you know, spit into a machine and say, hey, I have to give a presentation on crime reduction, and you know nothing about it.
Also, right.
It comes out with this, you know, incredibly researched paper that you know nothing about the subject, but you have that.
Jeremy Kahn.
A lot of people getting my shovel. If you believe that Epstein didn't kill himself, you get a shovel. I mean, or Epstein killed himself is what I should say, because this whole thing is like, hold on. There's
so you believe he did not kill himself?
No, he didn't kill himself.
Okay. Really? I was confused by your shovel.
You believe what they're saying right now?
That's not a great question.
What's a great question?
I believe he killed himself, but I believe there's a list. I don't believe everything they're saying.
Okay, because it's interesting that the cameras went down right beforehand. Both security guards are both, you know, guys working at the prison. They both fell asleep at the same time. There was a thing on Pam Bondi's desk that she talked about. Hey, yeah. This is the list. This is Epstein's list here. We've got it. And then all of a sudden, there's no list.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Ghislaine in jail? What did she do? All these people are lying. Yeah. This is like one of the worst cover-ups. And if you listen to Dan Bongino and Kash Patel and a lot of guys on the right were screaming, we got to find out who's on this list and everyone's going to pay. And then as soon as the information comes out, it's like, well, we got to focus more on immigration and getting these. What?
I'm with you on that.
Except
for me, the reason I think this, I think someone who was so powerful, had so much money and do whatever they want, and all of a sudden is gone, prison's not a happy place.
I get that.
And people try to kill themselves all the time and do it. They kill themselves all the time. So I could see that.
But they also talked about the strangulation marks around his neck.
I'd have to see. I know that.
They said it couldn't have been from the hanging from his sheet that it looks like he was choked out or like.
Yeah, well, and you would know that from looking at the body, because when ligature marks go up behind your ears,
I don't believe anything
yourself.
The government tells us anymore.
I don't
man.
Either. I said that to someone yesterday. I said it to someone. Yeah, so we all know.
This isn't a right or left thing.
I don't believe the government
either.
At all.
This isn't a right or left thing either. Like this thing.
No.
Because it didn't come out when Biden was in office and we're waiting. There's some really important people on that list that they don't want to get out.
Definitely.
My shovel goes to contactless pay. I have not seen a contactless pay that does not allow for cash tipping. The whole point of contactless pay is to have no cash. Am I right?
Yeah.
So it's not okay to take my cash payment because you don't. But if I drop a $5 bill in this little jar or put a $5 bill in the receipt book, that's okay. Didn't that defeat the point of contactless pay?
There's a Rita's right by
Am
my
I right?
house. And I love Rita's, and you can't tip the people there unless you bring cash. Some of them put a little Cash App thing on there, and I don't know if they were made to take it down, but I don't know. When I pick up something, I like to leave a dollar for everyone doing it, because if everybody does it, they're probably going to have a good day.
But I went to a place yesterday, and I didn't know they didn't take cash, which that's fine. I had some cash on me. She said, we don't take cash, sir. And I looked down. I said, could I put cash in there? I said, yeah, it was a tipper. I said, so I said, I'm going to pay with my card, but I don't understand the point of contactless pay.
Yeah.
If you allow me to leave cash tip, she just looked at me like, yeah, me either. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I'm with you. You're right. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Okay to take cash tips, but you can't take cash from a bill.
And it's not fair to people because, hey, look, I just had my ATM card stolen.
Yeah.
I have not had one for a week.
And you,
so I had kept.
You're limited in where you could go.
I had taken cash out prior.
Yeah.
So that's how I've been getting by. But it's like.
So if you went to this little coffee shop that I went to yesterday in Brooklyn, you wouldn't have been able to get coffee because they don't take cash.
Coffee shop doesn't take cash?
Doesn't take cash. Dude, it was a cool coffee shop, too. It was right there. I went to the Boys and Girls Club, me and Brett Hollander. We did a Q&A session with them and we played some baseball with them. It was hot. But it was a cool little coffee spot, man. They had the pastries. It looked like it's a diamond in a rough, to be honest with you.
Remember the place I found in the Bronx we went
yes.
to?
Yes. It's a lot like that.
Yes.
That place a was a lot awesome. Like that. Yep. It even had its own swag. You could buy cups and it was cool.
We went in New York. We went to a coffee shop in the Bronx. I went in. He was in the car. It was so cool. It looked like a place you have to walk in to be bulletproof glass behind, you know, at the counter.
Until you walked in.
Until you walked in, and it was, no.
And that's how this place was. Right over there in Brooklyn, right next to the Boys and Girls Club. The O'Malley Boys and Girls Club. 410-583-1057. Steve Bernhardt from the Baseball Factory joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, Jeremy Kahn, it's the Daily Line.
He had a winning night last night, and pretty much I went 3-2 in my top five, and then I gave out five leans, and then all of them hit. I got a message from somebody this morning that bet a couple of 17 parlays and hit them both, and won himself a nice chunk of change. So that always feels good. Today's another great day for baseball. I got one WNBA play that goes off at noon. And a couple of prop plays. By the way, all the prop plays I talked about yesterday, they all hit. Except for Ronald Acuna Jr. He didn't play. So we'll give you some more prop plays today you should look at. That's all coming up next here on The Fan.
Cal, the deep drive to right field. Way back and gone. Up to the second deck in right field. Cal Raleigh, when will we stop being amazed? His 36th home run. It is now the most ever by a Seattle Mariner before the All-Star break. Simply incredible stuff from the Mariners catcher.
Yeah, that's courtesy of Root Sports Northwest. And playing that, it's kind of interesting. I had the over in the Yankees game, so I think it had already gone over at that point. But I had Cal Raleigh over 1.5 bases. I talked about this. He had the highest percentage of going over 1.5 bases of anybody in baseball. And he waited till the end of the game to hit one out. Thank you. Get over the 1.5 bases. Yeah. That's happened to me a couple times. Ketel Marte, I won the over in the Arizona game with a solo shot he hit in the ninth. And I also had him over 1.5 bases. Same thing with that game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a really nice night. I hit all my prop plays. I hit all of my leans. And I went 3-2 in my top plays, which, you know, it sucks when you're thinking about it. Like, I hit every game except two of my favorites. In every game, I went 8-2 yesterday, and the two losses I had, I went even better than that because if you include the prop plays, I went 3-0 in those. And this is what I'm going to start doing. I'm just going to start listing the guys and telling you who the algorithm Drink Rob likes to go over 1.5 bases, and anything I see with disparity and strikeouts.
Doing the break.
So let's start off with this. Let me go to the WNBA game at noon. I like Golden State and Indy to go under the 163.5. I've seen some 165s out there. Obviously, I like it under the higher number you get, but I do think Golden State tends to muck up the Valkyries. Though it's a slower paced game. Indiana likes to run.
We're not talking about the Warriors.
No, we're talking about the Valkyries. Yeah, the Valkyries and the Fever. I got the Fever, but I like this game to go under. Everybody loves betting Caitlin Clark games to go over. Everybody loves betting on the Fever because who's on there? Yeah, Caitlin Clark. Now. Let's go to some of the MLB weather, and then I'll talk about the prop plays. Weather supports a Giants under tonight, an Orioles over, which is the best spot on the board today. When you look at the humidity, and I mean, you guys have walked outside. We got a little bit of rain in the forecast. What happens? You feel like someone poured applesauce down your pants when you go outside because it's so damn sweaty. And it's lumpy, too. Royals over is another play that they like, as the Royals have been swinging the bats better as of late. And here you go. Over 1.5 bases, all the players that my algorithm suggests should go over. And some of them have heavier price tags, but Judge, -145. Soto, -135. Alonso, Acuna, Lindor, Seager. That's Corey Seager, because the other Seager doesn't play anymore. Anyway, I don't know why I said that. Austin Riley, -135. Byron Buxton, -130. Augustin Ramirez, he's the catcher for the Marlins, -110. Trout, +105. Kyle Tucker, -125. And Nimmo, -135. There are four Mets expected to get over two bases tonight.
Really?
Yeah, that are projected to get over that. And
four.
It's ridiculous because we've talked about it. Sagano's been getting hit harder. I don't think he's confusing people anymore. They're just hitting the hell out of it. I like Westberg a lot. Anytime. So when I look at this list and I see somebody plus money or even money, I'm going to take them every time because that's what you're looking for. You don't want to. I could sit here and pay the heavy price tag at -145 for Judge. And you feel great about having Aaron Judge. But how many games has he gone out there and gone 0-3 with two walks? How many games has he gone out there and just gone over? It happens all the time. And when you're paying the extra 45% there with juice, yeah, it adds up. Those losses add up quickly. So you got to be careful with it. My favorites in that grouping today, like I said, I like Westberg plus money, Trout plus money. I think Kyle Tucker's in a premium spot. I think Juan Soto's in the best spot of anybody. And I'll throw this out as well. I like attacking the Rockies in the right situations. Lucas Giolito over 6.5 Ks is +110. I'll gladly take that plus money. I mean, last night's pitcher for the Red Sox had four strikeouts in the first five batters. Now, I'm not saying it's like that every night. That was Brian Baio, but it does happen because they strike out a ton. Getting to the baseball games and what I'm seeing today is we talked about the weather. Orioles over looks great. Good weather in Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Philly and San Francisco, I'll throw this one out. I like the under there. There's some interesting stuff with Justin Verlander and Jesus Luzardo as both of their ERAs look chunky. Luzardo's had two awful starts. Verlander hasn't been great, but with the conditions, it's you're going to love this. Mm-hmm. What day is it? July 9th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's 58 degrees in San Francisco.
Yeah.
50. But where the hell else is it going to be mid-50s July 8th in the middle of the day?
That's about it.
I mean, it's a 3 o'clock game. So it's crazy how the weather goes out there. I love the under, and I've talked about this. Atlanta and the Athletics, Atlanta Braves and Athletics going tonight. I mean, there's just so many opportunities for home runs. As much as I talked about the Mets being in the top 10, the Braves are up there too. Riley, Olson, the bat loves Olson today, the algorithm. And then on top of it, you've got Acuna and some other guys that mix in there as well. The wind's blowing out at that small-ass stadium in Sacramento. You got two pitchers that are fly ball pitchers, and neither one of them's good. I mean, Elder has some promise, but he's not very good. It looks like a great over spot. And I'll throw this one out, too. Like, I think the Cincy over is interesting. The Cubs over is interesting. One game that kind of stood out to me was Arizona and San Diego to go under the total. There are some eights out there. That's Brandon Fatt, and he's going up against Dylan Cease, who, again, both of these guys can strike out and limit damage. I like this spot for an under. I think Juan Soto goes Yabo today and hits a home run. I like Kyle Tucker, Jordan Westberg, and Austin Riley to go yard as well. So there you go.
Thank you very much. 410-583-1057. I give a shovel to cashless, contactless pay. Mm-hmm. Cooper has given an explanation for why there's cashless pay but cash tips. Cooper?
Hey, fellas. So I work at a music venue, and we are cashless for payment, but we do accept cash, like tips or donations. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I don't think it's like a trade secret, but if you take cash to sell products, you have to pay someone, have to monitor the cash flow, to count that money, keep track of it, deposit it, secure it. If you don't have to do that, you are paying, credit card fees, but you're saving tons of time and labor.
Minimizing
some of that risk.
To me, there's a difference between you telling me cashless for that and for you telling me contactless for sanitation purposes. Those are two different theories, Cooper. Mm-hmm. You're going cashless because it makes business sense. Contactless is specifically we don't want to touch. You understand? Mm-hmm. Am I mixing that up?
No, that's absolutely correct.
Contactless.
I'm completely. Say cashless. We don't accept cash. Don't say contactless.
Yes.
Did you hand me the coffee cup?
Absolutely. That's why I don't. This is what I don't get. Tell me cashless and we can go from there. But you're like, contactless. You don't want you giving me my items with gloves on. Those are two completely different things.
This whole thing's gotten ridiculous.
It is.
We talk about people wearing masks in cars. I still see that. I saw a guy with a mask around his chin the other day. Like, it doesn't work down there. It's like, I'm not joking. Like, I swear to God. I'm like, are you wearing this for your health or just to let us know who you voted for?
By the way, that was one of
my... Come on, man.
The people, when they did the people at Walmart or the grocery store and the different things they use for masks, like the one guy that used the plastic bag and he just put it over his head and I'm going... I know how this is going to turn out, buddy. I don't know if you know, but I do.
I went to MVA in Glen Burnie to try to had to renew my son's license, I think it was. And they made us wait outside. Woman had a mask. She pulls her mask down to give us instructions to tell us to wear masks inside. And then but it was ridiculous.
I had a person at the Safeway over in Perry Hall that had like a clear bucket on their head. Really? This is a bucket. And I'm like, what? Are we going to joust later or something? What the hell's going on?
Joe LaCroix's Encore 945, but on the other side, MLB draft preview with Steve Bernhard from the Baseball Factory on The Fan. You're going to make me play this song in the Forerunner on the way home now, Joe. 9:32 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Joining us on the Window Nation guest hotline from the Baseball Factory, he is Steve Bernhard. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Rob. Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right. Steve, the Washington Nationals had the number one overall pick, and I'm not even going to ask you who they'll get, but I've never seen a situation where a team got rid of the manager / head coach. I'm saying any sport, and the GM at one time, and that time is like a week before one of the most coveted times in your franchise, that's the draft.
I would agree with you. I haven't seen anything like it before. Their scouting director with the Nationals moved over there a year ago from the Orioles, Brad Ciolek.
Yeah.
So I guess that puts a lot of pressure on him. I'm not sure who else will be involved in the decision-making. I haven't really heard anybody named right now. So, it's a challenging situation for a team that it seems like they're on the cusp with a lot of young guys, and you don't want to miss when you've got that first overall pick.
You know, we always talk about the NFL drafts regarding strength of the draft in general, strength of positions, good quarterback class, good, you know, offensive line class. How does this class rate? Would they even do that in baseball? And how would this, you know, what would be the strength of this year?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. One, it's a good draft, and it's pretty deep, which obviously bodes well for the Orioles having six picks in the top 100. It's the two kind of, I guess, storylines are there are a few really good college left-handed pitchers at the top. There's Cade Anderson from LSU, who could possibly go number one, Jamie Arnold out of Florida State, and Liam Doyle out of Tennessee. So they'll all go in maybe the top five picks, likely the top 10. And then the other deep area is high school shortstops. Obviously, Jackson Holliday's brother, Ethan, is a shortstop right now.
Yeah.
Another guy who could go number one overall to the Nationals. I think he's the best player in the draft, left-handed hitter. He's bigger and a little more physical than Jackson, maybe not as quick and athletic. Probably ultimately is a third baseman in the big leagues, but, you know, a shortstop now. Another kid out of Oklahoma named Eli Willits, whose dad Reggie played in the big leagues for a while. He's going to go pretty high, and really there's probably about seven or eight high school shortstops that could all go in the first round this year.
Can Ethan grow a mustache? Because I'm not sure Jackson can. I mean, they have the babiest of baby faces I've ever seen. Steve, we talk about this every year where the Orioles are going to be picking. What do you see around there? Because I was looking at, I saw a high school third baseman that I think MLB had them slotted to take. That was Xavier Nyans. What do you feel about where they're picking and what might be available?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because people don't even know what's going on at the top, like we talked about with the Nationals. So when you pick 19th, you got to have to see what falls to you. I know the Ravens have been good at it on the football side, and it seems like a good player always falls to them. You know, I guess the first inclination with the Orioles and their recent history is you think of a middle-of-the-field college player with power, you know, and left-handed hitter at that, if possible. So, you know, you hear names like there's an outfielder at a University of Arizona named Brendan Summerhill, who's a good left-handed hitter. He's about 6'3", played well in the Cape a couple years ago and had a decent year at Arizona with a little bit of an injury. Jace Laviolette is a kid at Texas A&M that kind of fits that profile. He's 6'6", left-handed hitter coming into this college season. He was talked about as maybe being going 1-1, but definitely a top five pick. Didn't perform as well, you know, still hit 18 home runs, but it wasn't the, you know, the 29 he hit the year before. So he's got some speed. He probably could play center field, big kid, power, just didn't perform. So he's another guy that kind of fits that could be there. Jeremy, you said Xavier Nyans. He's a possibility, too, if you go in the high school ranks. Another left-handed hitter. He's from Washington State. He's like 6'4", aggressive swinger, a lot of power. You know, like a lot of high school kids, some swing and miss. You know, there's a high school shortstop, Steele Hall out of Alabama, that maybe could fall in that range that kind of fits plus-plus speed. He's from Alabama, like Gunner, but he is a right-handed hitter. A guy that can really stay at shortstop, pretty good swing, just not as physical right now. So some of that group probably is on their list. I don't know for sure, but I would imagine they'd all fall kind of in that range of 19th pick.
Here with Steve Bernhardt from the Baseball Factory. Steve, you said Orioles have 6 out of the first 100 picks. That's like every 17 picks of what average the Orioles are picking. This club needs pitching. Is this a draft that the Orioles can take advantage of and get some good pitching?
I think they could. They usually don't take it real high. After that 19th pick, they pick 30th and 31st. So there could be, you know, a college starter that maybe would be appealing to them. They could be available in that range. If anybody watched the College World Series, like the number 2 starter at LSU, Anthony Ianson, had a really good year. Mm-hmm. He's got an electric arm. He might be available there. There's a kid out of Southern Mississippi named J.B. Middleton, who's another right-handed pitcher and a long track record of success, won a lot of games this year, strike thrower, good stuff, that kind of starter profile. So somebody like that might fit in that 30 or 31st pick if they decide to go pitching. I would have a hard time seeing them go with a high school pitcher, so I think a college arm might make some sense.
College seem to make sense. College players seem to make sense because, you know, they don't take as long in the minors usually. But is there any reason, because since Rob brought up pitching, that was in my mind, they seem reluctant historically to draft pitchers. And we don't have any pitching right now. Is there a reason for this besides kind of what we were just talking about with, you know, some of their past?
Well, I think, you know, the Orioles utilize analytics extremely well, and they put a lot of weight in it. And certainly the riskiest demographic is high school pitchers with injuries, without panning out. They haven't faced as much competition. To your point, Ed, it's a little safer to take a college player, not just because they're closer to the big leagues, but also it's usually, you know, if it's SEC or ACC pitcher, it's a track record of facing some pretty good competition. Yeah. You feel more comfortable with it. And I think just, you know, the analytics usually say that, you know, a position player is a little bit safer bet. If you're going to kind of stack those picks early on, you take a bunch of talented, either really talented, tooled up high school players or college guys that have performed. You've got a better shot at getting them to the big leagues and having them be an impact guy. But you're right. You know, obviously the farm system's a little thin on pitching now. So perhaps that philosophy changes a little bit and they grab a couple earlier than they have in the past.
Steve, if you haven't been on top of it, feel free to pass on this. But like the Orioles farm system, looking at Basayo, one of the reasons that he hasn't come up to the majors, I mean, he hit another bomb last night. It's just ridiculous. They talk about his defense behind the plate. Do you remember anything of like following him, covering him? And what do you think about some of the top prospects we have now with Baltimore? Anybody you really like?
Yeah, with Basayo, I did not see him when he was young in person. So I've just kind of seen stuff on video, and obviously the power looks legitimate. And, you know, it seems like it's just a matter of time before he comes up. You know, I like Enrique Bradfield. I saw him when he was a young high school player, and and certainly that speed plays every night. Vance Honeycutt, the first rounder from last year out of North Carolina, is an interesting kind of power-speed combo, really good athlete to me as well. And the Griffo Farrell kid, who's a shortstop taken out of University of Virginia, I don't know him personally. I know a lot of people close to him, and he's supposed to have makeup off the charts and just a worker and a guy that I could see being a productive big leaguer, almost like the Jordan Westberg kind of profile. Like, you're not exactly sure where he ends up. He can play a bunch of different spots, but just a gamer type of kid.
Hey, man, tell us where to follow you on social media during this draft.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's Twitter, it's Steve_Bernhardt, and we've got the UA Next Prospect Tour that we do in conjunction with Under Armour for high school players that's kicking off in a couple weeks that we'll be going around the country. And actually, our UA Next All-America game is coming to Camden Yards this year. So September 13th, we'll have the next generation of hopefully the best high school players in the country. We had Gunner and Jackson Holiday and Kobe Mayo and even guys like Cal Raleigh and James Wood in that game. So hopefully we'll bring some good players to Camden Yards for local folks to take a look at.
Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate your time on this Wednesday.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah,
thank you, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, buddy. 410-583-1057. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
I'm not saying I'm not entertaining it, but again, they'd have to blow me away. I'm definitely not shopping them.
A few minutes later.
Now, Jeremy, you look a little startled.
What?
You thought Cordell was putting his own stipulations on trades?
No, he... I wish we could go back and play it. Because it sounds like something I would have said as a Freudian slip.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to...
What? He said you got to blow him away for the trade.
Yeah.
And when he first said it, he missed
forgot away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, man, that's what it takes to get a trade to go down these days? Like, I'm interested in
going. You said go down.
I'm interested in getting Mackenzie Gore, but I don't know if I want to give that up.
And Norris, that is very appropriate for the sponsor of the Encore.
Yeah, because the Encore is sponsored every day by the Lion's Den. Passion, pleasure, romance. Go get yourself some tools. Seriously, I'm sure you're very good at this, but it couldn't hurt to spice it up a bit. Join the pride. Go to Lion's Den.
Hey, we really, really, really want Cedric Mullins. What do we have to do? Let's go to Rosedale and get Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Will Jackson Holiday be named to the American League All-Star team at the Rays? Brandon Lowe cannot play. And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too. I'm not sure about that. I like to say yes.
I think there's two or three guys you're going to miss, so I will say yes.
Okay.
Because they're all middle infielders. You
think not just because Lowe is going to miss, but you think there's some other guys will miss.
So say, Joe.
I'll have to check this. I think I saw this morning that Chorio is replacing Brandon Lowe.
Yeah.
Chorio's in the National League, though.
Junior Caminero.
Caminero, okay.
Yeah. Junior Caminero is replacing
Caminero him. Did get announced late last night. I don't know what that's.
But is that the only Rays player? Is that why?
Probably
was
so.
Lowe the only Rays player that
I
went?
Think he
I mean, there's probably
was.
Some pitchers, but when they're doing
no,
this,
I think he probably was. You have to be represented regardless.
So Caminero is replacing Alex Bregman.
Okay.
All right. And then we still have the chance with Lowe being out that they say Jackson.
Now, think about the lining up, Jeremy. All right. So you already replaced him with a Tampa Bay Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they already anticipating Lowe being out. And they're doing it in order because Caminero deserves to go before. Yeah, yeah, maybe they're already lining up.
I mean, I haven't looked at Caminero was on a heater there for about 3 weeks.
But his numbers are still impressive.
Are they? I haven't checked his numbers to see how great they look. Like when we were talking about Aranda, I'm like, why do you like him so much? And I went, oh, it's his numbers clearly.
Like, yeah.
It's clearly his numbers and how well he hits. Okay, I got you. I wasn't familiar with the game. I'm sorry.
And you know how? You know why I was so familiar with it? Because when we were in Tampa, that guy couldn't get out. If you notice, I didn't say we couldn't get him out. He couldn't get out. He couldn't get out if he wanted to.
Oh, man.
He was just ridiculous. Now time for you to find out what we learned today. What you learned today at Norris?
Apparently, everybody loves fights, golf fights in particular. Because Jeremy brought up Nick Tarnaski earlier. He played for the Panthers, and he was an enforcer in the NHL. He had more penalty minutes than games played. It's kind of that was his game, which is how Florida plays their hockey, which is why they're winning Stanley Cups, I guess. Anyway, interesting story. Barstool covered it. It was fun. We had fun talking about it. You know where I found it? I found the Daily Mail in England. I just find it's been
really?
It's an international newspapers about this fight. And I find that really interesting that they, because it's kind of, I mean, it's a fun story, but it's not like, you know, I don't know if it's something that resonated around the world, but apparently it did. That's how much people like fights.
And England, golf. England's not huge for hockey either. So
no, they love golf. Yeah. Give them that. But yeah,
not any big days today, guys. Today is National Dimples Day. I guess people with dimples. You got dimples, Jeremy? I don't know. I've already seen it.
I got them on all my cheeks.
Okay, yeah. TMI.
You
want
to see also, my dimples?
Nope. Today is also National Sugar Cookie Day, which is probably one of my least favorite cookies.
Oh no!
What is?
Sugar cookies.
Sugar cookies.
One of my least favorite.
All those cookies are tied for first for me. I like cookies. Sugar cookies are delicious.
Some birthdays in sports. Today would have been O.J. Simpson's birthday. Today is...
Happy birthday, Juice.
Oh, Twitter world. It's my birthday.
Hello. Hello, Twitter world.
You remember Willie Wilson?
Yeah.
Fast, wasn't he?
Yeah.
For the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
He turned 70 today. And former NFL coach, head coach, I think he's still coaching in the NFL, Ben McAdoo turns 48 today. Former NFL quarterback Trent Green and former NFL quarterback Kelly Holcomb both share a birthday today. Joe, who's older, Trent Green or Kelly Holcomb?
Trent Green.
Trent Green is older.
Kelly Holcomb came after Green, so I would say Trent Green.
Hey, I'm going with Trent Green as well.
Trent Green?
Yeah.
Kelly Holcomb today turns 52. Trent Green turns 55.
Ah!
Not that far.
Yep.
No, it was a trick question.
Yeah. all right. Well, my grandfather's really frustrated that he has to use the chairlift to go upstairs. It's driving him up the wall. I just got over my addiction to chocolate, marshmallow, and nuts. I won't lie. It was a rocky road. Why is it so cheap to throw a party at a haunted house? Because the ghosts bring all the booze. Joe, it's a double on. Like booze, like alcohol, and B-O-O-S, like boo. Boo. You get it? What kind of underwear do trees wear? They wear trunks. I invented a new game which I'm calling Silent Tennis. It's just like normal tennis, but without the racket. And fellas, if you're trying to pick up a woman, remember, lift with your legs. I'll give you two more here real quick. There was a man on a boat with a pack of cigarettes, but nothing to light them with. So the man took one of the cigarettes and threw it overboard because that made the boat a cigarette lighter. And lastly, went to the doctors. He asked why I drank. Let me start this.
I wish people could see the faces he makes when he said. He looks over his glasses to see. Like Shane Gillis.
I went to the doctors and asked why I. He asked why I drank brake fluid. I told him I just couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. There you go.
Oh boy. Is Bob in today?
Da, 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 da,
Vinny and Henny up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Hump Day Wednesday.